Good morning, Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio. Who's on the line?
How you doing, Mike?
Citizen lobbyist, thank you for calling in. You've recovered from what had been thought to be, was looked at as possibly being a long Tuesday Metsu Borough Assembly meeting, but it ended up being relatively short.
Yeah, I took lots of notes and I have lots of yellow highlights, so it wasn't that nothing was being done. But yeah, it was over surprisingly early for, in comparison to some meetings that we've had and what was on the agenda, out of there at 9:45.
Right. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. So let's start off. Was everybody there sitting up on the assembly?
Well, everybody was there. Mr. Hale was on the phone, and Mr. Bernier was on the phone once again. And the mayor started out the meeting by asking for a moment of silence because of the news of the death of Benny Cottle.
Oh.
Who was very involved in his community in Wasilla. You probably know a little bit about Mr. Cottle.
Oh, right. Yes, definitely that. Okay, so after that moment of silence, they moved on, and what did they do next?
Well, they made some changes to the agenda. Mr. Hale pulled a resolution, and Mr. Tews pulled an AM, and actually the manager pulled on something on the consent agenda and having to do with the 90% design of Matsu Central School, only because the school board hadn't taken it up yet. He expected them to take it up tonight. I'm sure Emily Forrester will be there recording the Wednesday meeting.
Right, she will.
And it doesn't sound like, if I have any indication, they went ahead with the presentation. I don't think there's going to be a hiccup there, but that was the changes that were made. There was a quick proclamation made, and I think this is with the Palmer City Council, too, recognition of Education and Sharing Day. So that was the first proclamation that the mayor left the dais for.
Right.
There was a short little bit of speaking by Mr. Smolden from the state of Alaska. Of course, the governor spoke to a few reporters yesterday, and there was a lot in the reported about the state revenue being what he suggested is disappointing. Whew, that's a lot for millions of dollars that haven't been able to be met. But
right.
he talked mostly about that. Ms. Nowers asked him about the Glen Highway. There's been a lot of concern, Mike. I know I have this concern every time I drive to Anchorage about the ruts that are in leftover from year before, and then especially this winter on that piece of the Glen as you get close to getting on transferring to the bigger highway, and she's been on this, and they are going to get filled in. I don't think he knew that, but she has had conversation with DOT, so it looks like they're doing some patchwork while they're doing the new construction, and that will be good to know since they don't plan on closing it.
Ah, very good, very good.
And then there was a presentation by the Rasmussen Foundation. I think I shared that with you, Mike.
Yes, you did.
I really don't have much to say about that. It's having to do with the advancing broadband statewide. The board approved $3 million in grants from their board to bring broadband equity to the state. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. I kind of just breezed through that part, but it was a good, short, concise presentation.
Well, I think the important thing is to be reminded from time to time of the very important role that both the Rasmussen Foundation and the Health Foundation play in supporting some very worthwhile initiatives here, that not only in the valley but beyond, but in particular, having that, I think is helpful for the assembly to understand this private public partnership thing.
Yeah, and the presentation's worthwhile. It is on the borough website, and it talks about getting out to communities and hearing about, including the Matsu, to talk about this. There's going to be a lot of money coming into the state about infrastructure for broadband, so pay attention to that.
Okay.
After that, the manager had some pretty good news about wanting to know how many of the assembly meeting wanted to attend the Houston High School ribbon cutting, which is this Thursday. Actually talked about it a little bit later. That school opened yesterday or Tuesday. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. There was a presentation on it, and I'll talk about his closing thoughts on that. But pretty exciting. Their kids are finally going to have a graduating class from there.
And I know that when Emily Forstner interviewed the superintendent, Randy Traney, on Tuesday, he spoke about the walkthrough that he had done, and he impressed upon listeners that this is a very, very nicely done school. And for the community up there, it's not just a place to send your kids, but it's going to be in many ways a community resource.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. I totally am glad to hear that. But let's launch into the reason the room was pretty full.
Right.
They didn't have the camera system that you set up last week at the Palmer City Council, so I couldn't get a real good feel of it. I was just listening to the meeting, but it sounded like it was plentiful.
Yes.
Of people, mostly there about one subject, which was the gravel ordinance back again.
Right.
Right at the beginning of the meeting, it was Mr. Tews who brought it to the table on this long journey, and it was also his to introduce and then immediately postpone indefinitely.
Wow.
Which in essence means killed his own piece of legislation. He said he brought it out last year and then again this year. He thinks there's too many confusion now on the amendments, but he will be pushing this forward at the next meeting. So there got to be a little bit of confusion. Mr. Yount talked about it, had some words to talk about it. He talked about delaying it, that he was voting to delay it. Actually, it is dead.
Right. It has to start all over again once you table it indefinitely. It's not something you can, just sort of breathe some life into.
Yeah, but I think he did have some good, I think he gleaned some good comments, because I know they got lots of emails. He thought, and I think I'm glad to see him take this position, that it's better to have the meat and potatoes in the ordinance and not to do these things by amendment. And he thinks it'll take 6 or 8 weeks longer, probably. It'll go back to the Planning Commission, though, go through another public comment, and he thinks the more public comment, the better. So he expects to see it in earlier mid-May again, and he supported the extension, which really wasn't on the table. It was that hasn't come up until it's reintroduced as a new ordinance, which Mr. Tew says he intends to do. Closer to us here in Palmer, Mike, I thought Assemblywoman Snowers was pretty point on. She started off by saying she was appreciated the killing of the ordinance. She was sorry that they didn't think we needed to drag people to these multiple meetings to decide that it was a bad idea to cut the public out of the public process. And if they are going to move something to the Planning Commission and drag everybody through that they need to recognize a couple of things, one of which is that the public doesn't get cut out of the public process, and to also be sure they're accounting for drinking water impacts and dust and noise and all the things that she has been reading about in her 121 emails that she has gotten, and two in favor. None were from her district. She said that she has four community councils. She has RSAs, FSAs, and none of them were in support. But mostly she wanted to recognize that all the people that stood up to supporting killing the right legislation that she hears, and she hopes the rest of the assembly hears what they're saying, and that whatever they do send on to the Planning Commission, which will start the process all over, reflects those thoughts. So I thought that was pretty well said. Really wasn't a lot more said about it. It was pretty quiet from then on out, and that was the end of the gravel ordinance.
And my understanding was that at that point, I know people viewing the exterior of the borough building noted that there was an exodus and many people left at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a 10-page agenda, but that's definitely what people were there for. I think everybody recognized that. There was a lot of cheering and clapping when that was over. And then the next couple things went pretty quickly, having to do with a change. I looked at this one, and this is why I encourage people to read the entire agenda, because I look skeptically at this, and once I read it and also listened, I agreed with it, actually. It was to repeal an ordinance that set up the Aviation Advisory Board, and changing the composition of the Transportation Advisory Board to include a seat for aviation. And at first, my first knee-jerk reaction, Mike, was, uh-oh, here goes the public process. But really, when Mr. Strawn came up there to talk about it, It made a lot of sense. The borough doesn't really own any airports. It was basically put together to advise the state on the statewide aviation program. And right now, they just don't have any work to do. And they're short-staffed, and it just made sense to find a really competent person to sit on the transportation board and give the aviation insight to that. So, at the end, it flew by. Mr. Hale was opposed to it. He said the only reason he was opposed to it is he doesn't like to see this cutting the public process. But I'm going to say this one made sense.
Yeah, and repeat that. The borough has no airports in the borough. Is that correct?
Yeah, no. No, it's either the city or the state owns the airports.
And I suspect if you had surveyed people, they would have thought that the borough did have some some game in there. But no, okay.
Yeah, and it's not to say. I mean, the borough has got a lot of land. Doesn't mean they won't end up owning an airport. They could at the port someday.
Okay.
But at this point in time, it just made sense. So, so that's a good thing they did, I think. There was an ordinance brought forth having to do with open mark procedure. This is kind of a yawner. It did get some back and forth through members of the assembly. It really had to do with lifting the level that the management can work on without going up to a really big bid process. They learned a lot of things during COVID, and that was it's hard to sit on these long, arduous bid processes and then try to get bidders to the table. It sounds like it's well vetted. Mr. Yount said just about with everybody said that, you know, they really have a lot of faith in the manager. It was a practical thing to do. I kind of was, you know, wanting to remind them, you've got a great manager now. That doesn't always happen, but that's up to the assembly to keep an eye on it. And the way that it's set up, they do get reported to. So hopefully that works out and makes it a little less arduous the way they're doing things.
Right.
They had some audience participation left over. Most of them talked about this RSA task force that we'll talk about next, but it was sort of a litany of things, maybe 10 people. So a lot down from the last meetings, but there were still people that wanted to, you know, have their 3 minutes in front of the assembly. So that's a good thing.
Sure.
And then they started dealing with things that they had pulled off the agenda. One of them was another one by Mr. Tews. It was a resolution that directed the manager to start implementing the recommendations of the road service task force that he put together, or the mayor, I guess, had to always bless off on it, a task force that operated maybe for about a year. Hard to say. I can't remember exactly that, Mike. It was really pretty centered around the Big Lake area. It was open to the public. There was one member of the public there, as Ms. Nowers, who said she had gone to some of the meetings. It did all the pictures and most of the report. I read the report. Really kind of centered on that Big Lake area, which not so much into the core. And really what it came down to was words matter. And in this case, his resolution had a sentence in it that stated that the manager would implement all the changes in the task force report.
Oh.
Well, there was some back and forth between Mr. Adams, the Public Works, who has a very keen eye for this. He spent a lot of time. He spent two terms on the Planning Commission, so he knows how to read legislation. And he was a little concerned about the changes that were in there, even though they were brief, that it would he'd have to apply it to all parts of the borough because of the wording, and that he wanted to bring that to their attention. There was Mr. Hale had pulled it and wanted to postpone it until the next meeting when he had more time to look at it. Mr. Yount said he was okay with that. He thought it had been out there for 3 months, so the report has, and he's going to vote to pass it now or pass it in 2 weeks. He didn't care either way. So the delay did fail, but they did manage to cobble a way to rework the wording so that that portion wasn't there. And also hear from the manager who says, look, you know, the guts of this is in the last page. This is what we've done to address all of these things. You know, changing the words that removes all will just give everybody the flexibility, and that's where they left it. So it did pass with a little bit of word tweaking that removes the word all, which made sense to me.
Okay.
So So with that, Mike, really there was just not a lot that went after that. There was, a lot of back and forth on just some things that they had kind of singled out before about purchasing and how much was enough to, I guess I should back up just a second when we have time. There was one that the twos had pulled out having to do with a bid that's already been awarded to a company to do the annual operation and compactation of the central landfill. And you wouldn't think that would be a very big deal, but it is a big deal. It's like millions of dollars,
Big
deal, where they compact the garbage. And that got into a little tussle back and forth. This is an area Mr. Tews inserted himself in once again. I think he was an unsuccessful bidder in the past on this contract. So it went back and forth, but at the end of the day, it did pass. It was a little bit of a struggle, though. And then lastly, Mike, as we wrap up here, I just want to say that it was really nice words that the manager had to say about the Houston High School. And the fact that, you know, that the kids showed up for their first day of school and they were eighth graders when the earthquake happened, I think that just hit me.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And that the building that they were living in before was 36 years old. Kind of sounds like our library, Mike.
Yes, indeed.
And the building is designed for future expansion, another good lesson. And it has a very strong career tech portion to it. And that federal, state, and borough money of $40 million did not require the borough to go in any debt. So he thought the long road was long, but they could have done it faster, but he didn't think it would be as good. So I hooray for Mr. Brown to get them through that and the future assembly for kind of putting it together.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Excellent. So I attended the chamber meeting, Palmer Chamber meeting on Wednesday, and the mayor, Matsuburo mayor, did talk about both the Houston school and the gravel ordinance. And she brought chamber members up to date. But she underlined that point made that this was a pretty impressive thing to have completed that and have that new school and have it be debt-free.
Yeah, and it was a complicated path getting there. It had a lot to do with COVID money that was able to move other money around. I struggled with it a little bit because as someone who has worked on school bonds and had to get voter approval for schools, I was a little concerned about both this and the Matsu Regional, or Matsu School getting built without voter approval. But this was a disaster, had to be happened, and I think the manager made some good points about look at the schools that were in Anchorage damage and where they are and where we are today.
So
I think it's a good thing.
Yes, very good. Well, it's also a good thing that you spent the time and reviewed that and were able to share today, Citizen Lobbyist. We're going to have kind of a busy time coming up. There's going to be a joint meeting. Next week, there's going to be a joint meeting of the Matsu Borough Assembly and School Board. And it'll be the same night, of course, as the Palmer City Council meeting. And so then we'll be slipping into a heavier schedule because the Matsu Borough, of course, does the school board do its budget to be done by the 1st of July.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Maybe it won't have gravel for a few weeks. That's what I hope for.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of oxygen out of the room. Last thing, Mike, I would be remiss in saying that Radio Free Palmer is having their annual fundraiser this week. And if you enjoy these little synopsis or these little cliff notes on the borough meetings and city meetings, I hope you go and donate just a few bucks to help us get to our goal this time. So I'm just going to place myself in there and leave that note.
Thank you for doing that. Citizen Lobbyist, right. We'll be back next week. Stay well out there.
Sounds great, Mike. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests did not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.